Today's scripture lesson is from the fifth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, the part that we know as the Beatitudes, beginning at the first verse. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." He said, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." He said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you." For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I'm Marta Fioriti. Oh, and how beautiful it is to see such a full church. Amen. I mean, this is amazing. I love it, especially coming outside of, or in the midst of, or the trickling out of COVID. It's been such a long time since I've seen a people like this. And good morning to the virtual community watching from the comforts and safety of your homes. Perhaps from other cities and towns in Colorado, and maybe across state lines. And good morning to my mother, who's watching also, and to maybe my three children. I had to do that for her. She's in Colorado Springs right now with my kiddos. She traveled there from Washington, D.C. I am glad that you all out there in the virtual community tuned in this morning also. I'm gonna take a breath here because I am super nervous. But I invite you to create space in your minds and bodies and souls, because this time, this hour is for you. It's a time to reorient, a time to remember who you are and to whom you belong. It is a time to acknowledge the sacredness of memories and hold dear that past. It is also a time to celebrate what may come next, a time to imagine new ways, and a time to dream like never before. This time is for you and you and yours and this whole community. But before we allow a new thing to emerge, or a new way of doing things, or make space for becoming, first, let's bless and be blessed. So before we begin this time of wisdom sharing this morning, that's what I'm going to call this preaching, is wisdom sharing. I invite you to do something that you might not normally do during the sermon or at church. I don't know for sure, because this is the first time that I am worshiping with all of you. Hal might do some crazy things every once in a while. But we are going to bless and be blessed. The power of blessing means a posture and a submission to all that is holy and sacred. So I invite you to turn to those who are sitting right next to you or even behind you and look them in the eye. You actually don't have to touch. And bless the other, and also receive a blessing by the other by saying, "Blessed are you." Try that with me. Blessed are you. And if you can fill in the blank, that would be awesome. You may know the person well enough to fill in that blank, but you also may just say, "Blessed are you. Blessed are you who are weary. Blessed are you who seek God's presence." So now, my friends, turn to those around you. Blessed are you who are just so comfortable. Blessed are you who sit in anticipation. Blessed are you who are curious. Blessed are you who wonder and witness. Jesus said, "Blessed are you." And I'm not surprised that Jesus began his ministry by going up a hill away from all the commotion, sitting down and inviting the disciples to sit with him. He did not stand and preach at them. He did not lecture them. He did not insist or demand certain behavior. He sat. And he invited them to reflect on their broken and hurting lives. He invited them to awareness and intention. He invited them to feel the angst of living under the empire that was against them, that tried to suffocate their lives and bodies and souls. He invited them to feel all of that. After all, this is the beginning of his ministry. This is the preamble and the prologue, maybe a table of contents for all the gospel teachings. And he wanted the disciples to begin by acknowledging the broken parts so that no matter what, they could practice God's presence and love and joy, despite the gaping cracks and jagged holes in their lives. And so, with this ritual practice, he first blessed. I'm not surprised that this is what Brooklyn taught our young kids to do from the very first. It was a practice that he would continue throughout his ministry. It is the superpower that he gave them to use as a tool, because life gets hard. First, we must bless. Some of you may know that I am finishing up my doctorate of ministry program at Iliff School of Theology. The name of the program is Prophetic Leadership. And in my cohort, each of us is researching very different topics. And so I have taken a deep dive into an intersectional feminist approach to worship. And one of the things that I've learned and practiced during this project is the idea of ritualizing relationships, meaning we are blessed, and when we are blessed, we're able to bless all other people. So this morning's scripture, these Beatitudes, remind me of some of that learning because Jesus practiced ritualizing relationships. The word ritual means a ritually symbolic behavior that we always do, like making coffee every single morning. That's me. Walking the dog at noon every day, or even partaking of Holy Communion every week or every month. And the most important part of that ritual is the valued pattern of practicing it repeatedly. I love ritual. It becomes comfortable and familiar. But ritualization is something else. Ritualization is more like a verb. It is an action word. Ritualization requires movement and change. It emphasizes making new forms through which expressive behavior can flow. It holds on to the memory with fondness while leaning into something new. In other words, we take the static ritual of doing something repeatedly and we spice it up. We give it pizzazz. We infuse art or new perspective. We try a new creamer in our coffee, which really is sometimes hard. Or we take a new route with our dog to experience something new. The hope is that when we ritualize, we will create space to emancipate our spirits, expectations, and ideologies. And that can be messy and even uncomfortable. But the hope is that when we do this, it will give space for new relationships to be built. It will allow communities to bridge the gaps between the rich and the poor. Ritualization allows a spaciousness to do anti-racism work. In other words, peace work, justice work. And when we do this, our relationships are deepened and we know each other intimately. We build trust and grace, and the work of Jesus comes with ease and passion. Blessed are you that cannot feel God in the static ritual. Blessed are you who desire to flip tables. Blessed are you who seek deeper connections. That day on the hill during Jesus' preamble to the Gospels, there was a lot of noise despite getting away from all of the commotion. The disciples gathered on the ground with Jesus and turned to each other, talking about the day's events and sharing testimony and laments and mundane stories of their lives. The backdrop was a clamor of townspeople at the trailhead, and I don't believe these Beatitudes were a prescribed liturgy of a blessing or even a static ritual. It was not quiet or even reverent. It was not fixed. It was the ritualization of a ragtag group of buddies that we're learning to find resilience and hope in each other. Maybe they baptized each other with their tears or sweat or even the buckets of water and anointing oil that the women and children brought alongside them that day who were also baptized and anointed. But none of it was perfect or performative. In fact, that is what made the ritualizing relationship work well. Jesus took what he knew of his Jewish tradition, what he knew about prayer and blessing, and he made it in a new form with a new expressive behavior infused with wisdom. He taught them how to find the holy and sacred in the fluid, ever-changing faith because it would be life-saving for their lives and for their first century society. It was holy ground. It was the spiritual practice to bless, then take, and then share with the world. To bless and be blessed. A practice that Jesus always did first. Jesus blessed a poured cup and a broken bread. Jesus blessed children, a bent over woman, a blind man. Jesus blessed tax collectors and high priests. Jesus said, take, bless, break, and then give. Jesus did this when he fed the 5,000, when he fed the 12 disciples at the Last Supper, and then the table in Emmaus. Jesus blessed, and then he said, this is my broken body given to you, and a poured cup given for all. So go and share with the world. But first, you need the sustenance of a blessing for your broken body. First, you must bless. Blessed are you who seek a new way. Blessed are you who find it hard to simultaneously hold space for the broken and the joy. See, most of us have domesticated the biblical teachings, even the Beatitudes, by making them into a pretty poem. Or they have been neutralized by making them impersonal and saying, blessed are some people, but not me. Or they have been said so often that we don't even hear them. We are numb to all of it. Perhaps the ritual of blessing has become empty. These Beatitudes were meant to invite radical, personal transformation for yourself and this community. This Beatitude teaching was meant to practice ritualizing relationship so that the people could go and serve the poor and the sick and the meek and transform a broken world, act justly and love mercy and walk humbly with God. This was the first thing Jesus modeled and taught the disciples, to bless first and then go out into the world. And every time Jesus blessed, it was different. It was never the same. Blessed are you who are raging. Blessed are you who are mourning. Blessed are you who feel numb. Blessed are you who feel sick and tired and sick and tired. My friend and neighbor, a former Mormon, gave me a gift card to Asana Hot Yoga for my ordination. How many people have done hot yoga? Anybody? I know. Isn't it amazing? She wanted to share her ritual practice with me. And so for Emily, the Mormon church had been about another person, a far away from her that she called Heavenly Father, that directed her to take care of everyone else except herself. And it was always in a voice that did not quite reflect her own voice. So when she found a ritual practice in hot yoga, she found a god that embodied breath and spirit and the hard work of stretching and then falling, then getting up again, and then doing it all over again. It was the prayer of what she was taught. So she was taught about prayer, but then she made it new in the yoga practice. When she handed me the gift card, she said the studio would be 102 degrees and I needed to bring water and I would sweat. And I replied, oh, that's so exciting. I can't wait. I can't wait to go. I was really super excited. But I said, but I don't actually sweat. I literally said that. Oh, that's not going to happen. And so she gave me a side eye and we planned to visit the studio. And so I have been going to Emily's ritual practice almost weekly since 2016. Because it has become my liturgy made new. I have called it my anxiety ritual practice. I have called it my post-shutdown exhaustion ritual practice. I have called it fear for my children ritual practice. I have called it feeling trapped, impatient ritual practice. My relationship to God and her people has expanded. And also, I have never sweat so much in my entire life. My clothes are literally drenched every time. My sweat has become my weekly baptism where God has worked from the depths of my heart, blessing my broken body and soul and mind. I often say I have released my demons through the baptism of my own body. And then at the end of the practice, the instructor walks around during Savasana, the final pose, and lovingly lays a cold lavender-infused cloth over our foreheads, and I can hear God's voice in my voice that says, blessed are you. Namaste. I honor the truth and beauty and goodness with you as it is in within me. Blessed are those women who find God's voice in their voices, and those who crave weekly baptisms. I found this practice because Jesus taught me that I was worthy enough to bless and be blessed first. So each time I enter the studio, it is a different experience. Each time I leave the studio, I am ready to join my Christian faith community to do the work of justice and peace, and more importantly, unfold God's kingdom in my little part of the world. My Beatitudes were not on the hill during the first century, but in a steamy hot yoga studio of the 21st century. Blessed are you who keep breathing deeply. Blessed are you who are tending to your own needs. Blessed are you who are tending to the needs of another. Some of you may know that I co-host a podcast called Jesus Has Left the Building. I actually just saw that Elvis movie. Have you guys seen the Elvis movie? Yeah. This is actually not in the sermon, but it reminded me because there's a line with Elvis. Elvis has left the building. Yep, this is where we got the name of the title from. My co-host is my dear friend, Mandy. We started it during the pandemic for many reasons, but one being we wanted to be in relationship with other people doing creative ministry. It made the lockdown a little less lonely for me, being a solo pastor. And it was sort of my way of sitting on that hill with Jesus and the other followers, giving testimony to all that is broken and leaning into the blessed are you. It was my way of becoming and belonging and connecting in a time that was so broken. So in the past few weeks, we have been interviewing many guests. This week, we had the privilege of chatting with Reverend Molly Basquette, who serves the Berkeley, California United Church of Christ. And she has just published a book called How to Begin When Your World Is Ending, A Spiritual Field Guide to Joy Despite Everything. And I was so taken by this book and Molly's stories and her bits of wisdom. Molly is 10 years into aggressive lung cancer remission, and her story of diagnosis and recovery is the thread that binds her book together. When we talked with her this week, I wanted to know how she was not angry. How did she forgive? How did she make sense of God in our progressive liberal tradition? How did she manage the broken? Her broken body, her broken lung, her broken heart, and a broken world. I wanted to know, as a minister, what words she would say when someone has lost so much. How did she metabolize the idea of why do bad things happen to good people or God has a plan? How did she reclaim these ideas for our tradition? I wanted to know because I know people. I know people who have lost a lot of jobs unjustly and money. I know that we are all trying to sift through racism and homophobia. What do you say to people that have been broken wide open but cannot find God, cannot find peace or grace or love or joy? You're going to have to listen to the podcast episode or read the book. No, just kidding. But Molly says nothing is broken that does not have a blessing behind it and a giving before it. A blessing behind it and a giving before it. She says, what if it were true that everything that breaks in your life was bracketed by a blessing and a giving? What if believing it made it so, and we could stop being so afraid? God doesn't have a plan, but God has a dream. Blessed are you who have a dream for yourself and this church. Blessed are you who refuse to turn away. Blessed are you who need to turn away. Blessed are you who have been calling. Blessed are you who have been organizing and testifying and hearing and resisting. Blessed are you who feel broken open beyond repair and raw beyond words. Blessed are you who are working hotlines and crisis centers, and bearing witness to the forces of violence and trauma unleashed and unloosed. Blessed are you who are marching and weeping. Blessed are you when we stay tender and fierce, when we dare to imagine and repair, when there is transformation, when we labor together to make it's so. Blessed are you, first and then act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. Amen.